Good evening. It is Dr. Shepherd coming to you with another note from the principal's desk. Welcome to March Madness, families. This is what we call this time of the school year. We call it that because, you know, obvious reasons. Daylight savings time, beautiful weather coming into play, and we are almost at the end of a school year. So, with that being said, tonight's topic is entitled Healthy Study Habits. Contingent upon the state that you live in, within the next 2 to 3 months, your child will be taking the end of grade assessment for that state. Now, tonight, I hope to provide a lot of strategies for you guys to be able to use to help build, create, or add on to study habits that are already in place with your child. Please know that this is not all the information that's there, but it is some of the strategies that I've used myself as an educator that I have seen being used within education over the last 18 years. And I, when used well, they really do work. And so I hope that you are able to find some of these very, very useful. Okay. So the first one, create a dedicated study area for your child at home. If space isn't available, then set aside time at your local library for your child. I feel like we have entered into this world where our libraries are not utilized in the way they were in the past. And so, contingent upon spacing in your home, if you don't have like a small corner where your child is able to go and study well, then please, please, please make sure you utilize the public library in your area. Now, depending on age, I say a good amount of time to study can range anywhere from 45 minutes to 1 hour. Again, that depends on age, that depends on grade. And so 45 minutes to 1 hour daily is enough. Okay. With that being said, my second advice for you all is to create and set aside time. Keep a consistent study schedule, which will allow your child the opportunity to create healthy habits in the future. Sit down and talk to your child about a good time for them to study. Look at your schedule, look at their schedule, and then agree upon a time that would really work for the both of you for them to be able to get some studying done in a quiet environment. Also, it's not a bad idea to tap in on like when is the best time for your child to study. Find out when they are most on. You will find that you'll have some who do really well early morning risers. You'll have some who do better in the afternoon. And then you have some who do better at night or late night when it comes to studying. And so just tapping into which works best for your child and then creating a schedule around that. My third advice would be to invest in an agenda book. Some schools provide agendas at the beginning of the school year. But in the event that yours did not, get you one so that your child can begin tracking their work, their assignments, right? This will also help them when it comes to like writing down the most important things that a scholar may need instead of writing down everything they see. The thing about an agenda book is it only has a small amount of space. And so what it does is it'll help your child see like, I don't have enough space to write all this information. Therefore, let me pick the key details out of what is up there and write that down. That helps them also when it comes to studying, not looking at every single thing, but focusing on the most important part to help them understand. Okay. The fourth thing would be to invest in note cards or like a study program that can help your child when it comes to retaining the information they've been given. Note cards are a tried and true strategy that have been around for decades, right? But there are also now some study programs available for you to use. I strongly recommend not going that direction. And the reason I say that is because our children spend a great deal of time on technology, from schools to homes. And so any opportunity that they have where they can actually just get like paper and pencil or paper and pen, I'm always going to encourage that. So note cards are tried and true that you can use. And then also something that worked for me is also another like old strategy that's been around for decades, but it has proven to work. It's consistently rewriting the information that's needed over and over and over and over and over until it sticks. And what you'll find is that after a certain amount of time, you're just writing the information and you haven't even had to look back at the paper to see if it's correct, right? And so that's also another good study habit. Number five, ensure your child is organized. A cluttered environment does not help create a clear brain. Trust me, studies show it is the exact opposite. So think of it in terms of spring cleaning, right? We have entered or we're entering into the spring seasons. Therefore, you're going to start putting away your winter stuff, your fall stuff. And that's the same way it is with our brains. And so a child, even adults, do not do well in cluttered environments when it comes to now I need to set aside time and I need to think. I'm trying to think of strategies, those things. And so definitely make sure that your child is organized, that they are in a organized, cluttered-free environment that allows them to lock in. Because once again, a clear mind, a clear environment, that's yes. A cluttered environment does not create a clear mind. It's going to be cluttered. Another strategy that you guys can use is form a study group. There are so many different ways now for children to get together to meet and study. So if you're not wanting to do, or if you're unable to do actually like face-to-face time where kids can get together or classmates can get together and study, you have so many different platforms now, from Zoom to Google Meets to the WhatsApp app. And I look at it like this. If they can meet for video games, then they can meet to study, right? They will find a way to make sure that they are able to log on and meet in the same area when they're playing video games. And so the same can same holds true when it comes time to study. And so do not dismiss the idea of forming a study group for your child and some of their classmates and their friends. All right. Another strategy. So if you see if your child can reteach the material to you, many people don't think of this as like a study habit strategy, but it is one that can show you how much your child knows and doesn't know, right? And so if you, after a couple days, few days of them studying, then just say, hey, bring it here to me. And now you teach it to me. Teach it to me as if I am your class, right? If they're able to teach it seamlessly, boom, they probably have it, right? But if there are areas where there's a hiccup, there's no need to go back and study the things that they already know. They know then to just study the areas where they're still a little unsure or where they may have given wrong information. And so that is a good strategy to use, is having your child to reteach the information to you. Another one. And this one is a big one, guys. If after a few study sessions, you see your child is still struggling, ask for help. I strongly encourage you to encourage your child to advocate for themselves. Seek help from the teacher. If that doesn't, you know, like for instance, like I tell my son who's middle school, If he's struggling with something or he doesn't quite understand or needs to seek clarity, I always encourage him to reach out to his teachers. He can choose to do it face-to-face, or he can choose to send an email. Now, I will proofread the emails, and sometimes I rehearse the conversation, kind of get that practice in for him of what the conversation could sound like as he is seeking help and advocating for himself. But I strongly, strongly encourage you to begin to instill in, if you haven't already, children advocating for themselves. Now, if that doesn't work, not sure what a hiccup can be, but if it doesn't work, then absolutely you step in, you reach out to your child's teacher and begin to seek help so that you can help them at home and steer them, you know, in the right direction, okay? Because the one thing you do not want is for your child to consistently study information wrong and then find out, like, wait a minute, and they don't do so well on the test. It kind of goes like with math problems, which is why we encourage math teachers, do not give out 100 problems or 30 problems, because what you've done is created space for them to practice and solve the problems wrong. And once that happens, it's very hard to get that out to remove those strategies or the process that they went through. And so it's easy to catch it pretty early on so that you can guide them properly. Okay. Set a goal for your child. Goal setting is not just for adults with businesses, but it is great for kids. Allow them to set a goal based on their current academic scores, for instance. Then you take that goal and post it somewhere. It could be the wall. It could be the refrigerator. You know, wherever there is space and wherever there is space that they're going to see it every single day, even their agenda, their notebooks, right? Leaving little sticky notes posted up around the room, the house, the bathroom mirror that says, you know, here is your goal, and keeping that before them and then checking in with them to see, are they close or how do they feel like they are in terms of reaching their goal? Okay. So definitely, definitely something that you want to do. And my last thing, that I want to say, oh, there's two more things. Sorry. Don't wait until the day before to begin studying. As soon as your child knows that there's an assessment coming, they need to lock in even the more and begin taking good notes to study. The thing you do not want to happen, and I know that we all do it, and sometimes it just happens that way of the cramming. But if you want to develop healthy study habits, then cramming is not the way to go. And again, I know it works for some people. It worked for me in some instances, and in other instances, it did not. But with 18 years educational experience, I have seen where it has worked, and I have seen when it really did not work. And so my advice to parents, to families always, is to start studying, pushing their child to study, encouraging their child to study, as soon as the information is presented, as opposed to waiting. Okay. And lastly, encourage your child every day. Words of affirmation go a long way. Trust me, I know. We sometimes get caught up in the hustle and bustle of things. And because we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of things, those are like those small little moments that we miss to be able to look at our child and say, hey, great job. Hey, I'm proud of you. Hey, there's your goal and you got this. You're going to be able to do this and you're going to be really good at this and I'm proud of you. Like, we miss those opportunities to do that when we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of things. So make sure that you're taking intentional time to provide or speak words of affirmation to your children every single day. Parents, thank you so much for tuning in. You guys rock. You got this. And I wish your child nothing but the best of luck as they prepare for end of grade assessments. Until next time, this has been Dr. Shepherd with another note from the principal's desk.